Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to point out something to y'all real quick. I'm the largest cat that's been up here on the stage. With that in mind, I've always been a very hard-charging warrior type, and I don't lose gracefully. With that in mind, I spent 17 years in human trafficking as an investigator, primarily in child sex slavery, which took me in and out of U.S. soil. But early on, it was really derived as pedophiles, sexual deviants, people that were, the internet was starting to really become something more useful to them. So porn was starting to develop, and the utilization of children for porn, renting them out at parties, it was miserable. I wasn't a father when I first started this, but I had a very defined sense that somebody needed to be doing this stuff. As I understand it, typically 4, 5, 6, 7 years is about maximum for most people for the burnout. And so, you know, me being the Scottish dumbass, I spent 17 years. Early on, however, I was young. I was bulletproof. I was a ninja. I couldn't be stopped. I was awesome. I got an unusual case, came across my desk one day. This guy from the Pacific Northwest was initially to be charged with some pedophile stuff, some other peripheral crimes. But the process, when they went to arrest him, he was a particularly disagreeable fellow. He apparently didn't want to go to jail. So he assaulted every officer he'd get his hands on, stole a gun. It was kind of ridiculous. But they found additional material, and they realized that he'd been literally renting out children at parties. I looked at this, and even not being a father, I knew to be disgusted. I knew that we got to get him. And my partner, I'm going to see about raising this up just a smidge. My partner, Jared, to give you a quick idea of what he was, he made me look small. Jared was a large, dark-skinned black man, Southern Baptist, lovely fellow. We were almost like a married couple, it seemed like. We would travel just to go get into mischief with these bad guys. It was just, I don't know, it was fun then, before I discovered orthopedic injuries. We swung into New York. I tracked him to this small apartment building, and we'd vetted the information sufficiently. It was worth springing the, you know, funding for the flight and whatnot. And when you're traveling around as an alpha male, you know, you meet other alpha males, but when you're on another alpha male's area of operation, you've got to kind of kiss their butt a little bit if you want to utilize their resources. So as it is standard, if you're in another man's home, you ask to get into his fridge. So we hit the local precinct that's applicable to the area of operation that we know this guy's in. We're chatting with him, and we've got a nice good file. Everything's clear. They're going to provide us with a uniform and do the transport for us and everything. Jared and I did stuff in just plain clothes. I used to have hair, actually, so it's kind of cool. We were going through this process, and we're trying to determine, okay, well, we looked at some of the available information and figured, well, you know, screw it. We'll do what we do. We'll do the surveillance thing. When we know he's there, we'll just, you know, I'm big, Jared's big. We'll just remove the door from its place, and we'll go in and say hi. Well, funny thing about New Yorkers, they don't dig that shit. They apparently like to really barricade themselves into their homes. And this shift sergeant was saying, you're kind of stupid. You're not just going to kick in that door. I don't care how big a badass you think you are. It ain't going to happen. We're fighting to think, okay, what kind of pretext, what kind of story, how are we going to get into this? And I'm reading through this, and I remember that some of the witnesses and some of the personnel that I obtained some information from along the line were men that he'd been with. And back then, I didn't know what bear meant. Let alone ginger bear, okay? So I saw this. I looked up at Jared, which is weird to look up at anybody. And I just harmlessly said, oh, well, I'll just strip down naked and use my feminine wiles and we'll pull him out of there. You know, I honestly, I was joking initially. However, caveat, I don't like to lose. I am not bashful. I don't care. The guy said, well, yeah, that's really swell there, Mr. Pacific Northwest. And I'm sure he's noticing how fucking pale I am. So he's like, he kind of challenged it as, you know, I'm occupied with fecal matter to the highest potential. And he kind of taunted me with it. And Jared, he knows me. And he just looked at that guy and he said, dear God, please don't taunt him. He's just going to do it. So he taunted me some more. So I'm going to get naked. We came to an understanding, and you know, there's always that risk of somebody of a younger age seeing you naked, and that's never a good thing. And it's kind of the antithesis of what I'm trying to do anyway. I don't want to commit a felony in the act of getting a felon. So we worked that out. There were some handshakes and some wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, there won't be any additional exposure. You just do your thing. Well, I get there, and these New York walk-ups are kind of cool. Back when I was about 20 pounds lighter, and I didn't mind stairs. This guy was on the third floor, and the whole setup was I would get there, I would gain access to this person's domicile, and I would go over to the window where I could be seen from the street, preferably not naked, but, you know, who knows. And I would have the phone, and I would just ring Jared. And what this would do to my partner, who then could communicate with the local uniforms, would be to tell him, okay, I've made it inside the residence far enough. If I've come to the window, I'm establishing to you that I feel confident enough I can at least be naked in front of this guy until you can get here to help me, right? I'm comfortable dealing with people. If they don't want to get along or if they want to get along, I'm happy either direction, whatever. But I was going to be naked. So, you know, no gun, no nothing. It's problematic. I got up to the second floor, and I kind of chickened out a little bit. Yeah, I guess newspaper. Oh, well, I'll cover the nether regions there, and we'll just go from there. I got up to the third floor where I needed to do my thing. And the way the doors were positioned, I took a big risk thinking, I'm going to knock on this one door, because if I go straight to his door, and I'm thinking like a fugitive, he's going to think, oh, bullshit, this is something's wrong. Nobody answered the door. Whew, it was cool. And I'm naked, so, you know, who's going to answer the door? You never know. I hit this guy's door. Knock, knock, knock. And this little, like, Wizard of Oz door opens up. And he looks at me, and I mean, I could see him getting up on his tiptoes trying to get a good look. And you could see the grin on his face, and I was starting to feel a little uncomfortable. And I said, dude, I'm really sorry. I this is so embarrassing. I'm completely naked. I stepped out of my apartment to get my paper, and I locked myself. Oh my God, nobody's home. I need a phone. And he kind of looked at me, and then, you know, you hear like this light industrial mechanism thing going off, getting the door ready to open. I'm thinking, well, shit, I'm glad I didn't try to kick that shit open. Naked. That's a whole nother story, though. It's happened. He kind of cracked the door open, and we had a small little interlude of where he enjoyed, apparently, what he was visually interpreting. And I was uncomfortable. It actually was so much so that I'd forgotten that this guy had assaulted cops. I'd forgotten that I just was like, I'm naked and I'm very uncomfortable. So he actually opens the door and he says, well, yeah, come on in. You know, so I trottle in with my paper and my nothing else. And there's a little kitchen, and this cat's phone is bolted to the wall with a cord that long. It's one of those old push button jobby. Probably sufficient personnel in here that remember those phones. So I'm doing my scan, I'm doing my look, we know he's armed, he's always carrying a firearm of some kind. So I'm trying to gauge and look and see, and I'm getting a feel for the layout, and it's really a small place, and there's not a lot of room for a 6'3", 300-pound guy to go running around, especially when you're already naked and trying to hold a paper at the same time. So I decided I'm just going to wander over the window. I give him some bullshit story about, well, let me just, you know, my neighbor or my roommate, he drives around all the time looking for a parking spot. Maybe I'll see him. He should be here now. Let me just look outside. I walk over the window, and I'm kind of doing this, looking around. And I, you know, I have the sense to keep my groin covered as I'm looking out over the world. But my butt is like, hi. Hi, guy that likes red-haired, burly guys. And there was this palpable silence. It was just like he was looking, and I hoped, and I guess I had the confidence in my heart. You know, Jared's gonna know. Well, he's at least at the window. A dumbass obviously couldn't get a phone. He forgot one step, but we always do. He or I are always screwing up. So I'm standing there, and then this guy's like, it was the pizza guy porn. I mean, this guy was just excited. And this was before a case I did in LA where I spent 2 weeks in a gay bar. So I still had this little unusual homophobia thing going on, but that's way gone now. So we're kind of staring at each other. And I don't know, maybe he's hearing love music. I'm hearing trance. I don't know. It just, we were on a different page. And then all of a sudden you hear boots coming up the stairs. And there's that nanosecond of hearing that. And we both look at the door, and the door's still open. He was so distracted by my burliness that he... But any self-respecting fugitive, you know, you've got to close your door, man. You know, you're hiding out. He didn't. So he started to bolt for the door. Nope. Not in... paper's gone now. I've vaulted at this guy. Took him out. I don't know how I manage. I'm not particularly aerodynamic, but I seem to be able to... I can get some air if I really try. I took this guy out, and I don't know how many of you are old enough or not old enough, but back in the day, there was a show called $6 Million Man, and the very beginning of that show, there's a plane crash. That's what we look like. It was man meat, just like this, tumbling. We came to rest. My, of course, immediate interest is I'm grappling with a fugitive. I need to get him locked up. I've got his arms. I've got his legs. I'm naked. My ass is pointed right at the door. The door never got closed. Important note. Now, I've never had the opportunity to see my taint. I'm not interested. However, others have. They got to the door. I know Jared was there, and there was another uniformed male there. And there was just this, like... You know, you don't want to see that shit. I don't want to see it. I don't want anybody else to have to look at it. It seems reasonable. And I'm laying on top of this guy, and he's kind of struggling a little bit, but as he'll fight, and then I'll lock him up even more. And, I mean, I'm basically dry humping this guy, but I'm naked, so it's... Kind of not dry, dry, kind of. He doesn't know whether he should panic and freak out because some guy's attacking him and he's going to go back to jail, or whether he should be preparing for an orgasm. And I didn't know it at the time, but looking back on it, I can see very, very clearly how that was happening. And I literally scoot him over, and I'm looking back, and I'm like, a little help. And everybody's just so, I'm assuming, disgusted. They just can't even. And now they just saw this homoerotic thing going on. What's happening? I'm actually getting irritated at this point because I've done my part. I'm naked. Hook this cat up. Let's get this shit over with. And then, now this was back in the very early 90s. I hear the sound of a disposable camera being wound. And then all of a sudden, I can hear discernibly, I've been a surveillance guy for a long time, so my ears are pretty cool. I'm pretty sure I'm hearing two of them damn things. I finally kind of, I'm trying to get interest in someone going ahead and maybe shackling this cat up so I can maybe go get some clothes on if you guys don't want to keep looking at this. Let's do this. And my partner, Jared, who, you know, we loved each other so much, but he was disgusted. And the funny thing is, you know, he was raised in the South, so he's just really, really just this big, huge, really dark-skinned black guy. His whole family's very dark-skinned. So it was always a joke with everybody we work with, because I'm so pale and he's so dark and we're just huge, and it's just, what the hell? I knew he was disgusted, and he stated as such. He looked down, and I can just see him out of the corner of my eye, and his deep voice, he says that, "Oh, that's the whitest ass I've ever seen." I'm thinking, how many white asses have you seen? I mean, all right, whatever. So I hear these cameras going, and I finally kind of get turned around, and there's two female uniformed officers taking pictures of me. And I'm not hiding nothing. There's nothing to hide. The way I got this guy locked up, and because of his size, I'm stretched out on my elbows, but my ass is up in the air, and they're spread out a little bit because I'm pushing his legs out. And if you ever wanted to give me a cervical exam, that would have been the time. The end game was fine. You know, we picked him up. He's gone to prison. He's still in prison. He's never going anywhere else. We were able to determine all the victims in his swath of destruction, and, you know, all the things that we could do, we did. It was not until 2007 when I realized that I couldn't handle it anymore. I had my daughter in 98, and I started having a really hard time with these guys, especially these larger groups in like Honduras or Thailand or whatever. And I was becoming a little bit unnecessarily violent with these people. And I know some people might think, well, that's great, but it's a burden to your team when you're doing that. So by 2011, I'd re-injured myself to a sufficient point where I had 5 back surgeries, and I discovered I had PTSD. And this is years of looking at child porn and dealing with victims and seeing, you know, I've seen a girl burned alive because she was pregnant and now no longer a viable asset to these handlers. So this storytelling actually is how I've learned to cope with my PTSD. But this story, the people in my inner circle call it Naked in New York. The only extension to offer to the story at this time is, it's my understanding, I haven't vetted it, and I just don't want to, that one or both of these ladies are now higher ranking command structure in New York, and they teach it at one, they've got a few different academies out there for all the cops they got. And allegedly, they tell the story to this day about the white guy from the Pacific Northwest with a fabulously clean taint. He would do anything he goddamn well could to get the job done, and I did, and that's Naked in New York.